This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman and Dr. John Fleming. Represents his state's 4th congressional district, and he joins me now to offer his thoughts on where we currently stand in the debt ceiling debate, including his position on the Boehner bill and where he thinks this debate is ultimately headed in the next several days. And, sir, it's always good to have you with us.
Great. Thanks for having me once again, Greg.
We've certainly heard about a number of momentum shifts inside the Republican conference over the past 48 hours or so. Initially, it looked like Speaker Boehner didn't have the votes. Now it looks like he's at least getting close, if he's not quite there. What has been your thinking on his so-called compromise plan once the Senate tabled the Cut-Cap Balance Act, which seemed to be having the support of just about every Republican?
Well, to lay the foundation, remember that there have been talks for days, weeks, months. The president has never submitted a plan. He's always talked about abstract ideas. And then when they would begin to get close, he would retract what he said. Finally, Speaker Boehner gave up and decided to just go forward with further legislation. We passed last week Cut, Cap, and Balance, which is an excellent bill that would have provided everything the president needed all the way up through his election in terms of a debt ceiling increase, but at the same time would put handcuffs on Congress and the president for future spending and would provide for a balanced budget amendment passage. The president said he would have no part of that. Harry Reid said he would not deal with that either. So Speaker Boehner put together a bill that is, I think, a very good bill, but does not have quite the extension and the, I guess, the handcuffs that would be required under Cut, Cap, and Balance, but still provides for cuts that would be dollar for dollar versus the debt ceiling increase. There would be a balanced budget amendment vote, and there would also be caps on future spending and no tax increases. And to boot, Harry Reid actually agreed to this in framework last Friday, but then when the president found out about it, he threw a fit, just flipped his lid, and Harry Reid has backed away from it. So it is our belief that it is such a balanced bill, it's such a good bill, and one that's a good compromise, that we should be able to get it passed this afternoon, and we put it in squarely into Harry Reid's hands and say, look, you say this is a crisis, Harry Reid. Now do something about it because you haven't done anything about it yet. And then it goes on to the president.
Let me get your thoughts on a couple of the arguments from the various sides here, from the Republican side among Republicans who don't like what the speaker has put forth here. They say that cut, cap, and balance is basically a non-starter in the Senate. The Senate Democrats have said that this would be a non-starter. So as long as you're headed into a stalemate with your best foot forward, they say, why not stick with what everybody is behind and would accomplish more as they see it? How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that's a good case. But remember that cut, cap, and balance was dismissed outright, and it requires for the money to be activated, for the debt ceiling to be increased, it requires that balanced budget amendment has to be passed from both houses. And that is a pretty high mountain to climb. This bill does require a vote on a balanced budget amendment, but does not require it to pass prior to releasing the money. But on the other hand, the money is released in two tranches, the first one to cut discretionary spending, and then a second one after there's been some reform of mandatory spending entitlements like Medicare and Medicaid. And so while it doesn't have the far-reaching approach, it's still a very good one, and one that's going to be very hard for Harry Reid and Democrats to turn down because it's so fair. And remember, Harry Reid actually agreed to it before the president got to him. But look, in the final analysis, Greg, we understand that this president is not a willing partner in solving this country's problems. And so we're just trying to help Americans out until we get to 2012. And they can vote in another president that will begin to work with us and get this country on sound economic footing.
Some have said in defense of the Boehner plan that voting against it and that leading to defeat would really be a huge advantage for Harry Reid and his plan, which most conservatives believe is full of basically empty promises on spending cuts. Do you think that's logistically true?
I think a case could be made for that. Remember that Republicans control only one house of Congress. So that means of the two legislative branches of government, we control one half. We're still overall in the minority. We still have much less power than Democrats do. So we have to be realistic to what we can get done until we get reinforcements in 2012. And if we don't stay together, and not just the members of Congress, but Republican senators and hopefully some Democrat senators who come from more conservative districts, but also the American people who want this problem solved, we all need to stick together. If we don't, then I think we could guarantee that President Obama will be with us another 4 years, and he'll add to the $6 trillion of spending that he will have already provided, and probably have another $6 to $8 trillion of debt added in the next term of his presidency.
We're talking with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, and Congressman, back to the side that's a little bit skeptical from the right on this bill. They are apparently quite concerned about this super congressional committee that would determine how to further reduce deficits and debt. And a lot of conservatives fear that at least one of the six Republicans would be sympathetic on some level to tax increases, which would go against one of the major premises of the GOP position throughout this entire debate. Do you share that same concern or no?
I don't think that that is a real concern. I mean, it's a theoretical concern. It could happen. But number one, we would make sure that we had true fiscal conservatives on this committee. Speaker Boehner is already committed to that. And secondly, remember, whatever they come up with still has to be voted up or down by both houses of Congress. So if we would not approve a bill that would raise taxes now, why would we do it any other time just because it comes from this committee? I can just tell you there's not a single Republican that I know in the House, and perhaps very few, if any, in the Senate who would ever be in favor of any sort of tax increase. So I think that that's a remote possibility.
And in terms of what happens in the offing here, if in fact the Senate Democrats make good on their threat to shelve the Boehner plan, assuming the Boehner plan even passes the House, what is ultimately going to be the end game here?
I don't know what is in the Speaker's mind. My personal opinion is that the American people will know that we have done a lot. We've done far more than Democrats, including the president, who've done actually nothing. And we will simply leave that bill at Harry Reid's doorstep, and we'll let the American people begin stoking the fire underneath and say, look, we've got Republicans who are very willing to solve our problems, but we have Democrats who are unwilling partners in this, and it's time for you to act. So it'll be up to the American people at that point, in my opinion.
Another important stage in just a little bit. Congressman, thank you as always for your time with us.
Great. Thank you so much, Greg.
Louisiana Republican Congressman and Dr. John Fleming. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.